All right, cool. Well, I've been struck by something recently as I've been preparing for Christmas and listening to podcasts and blogs and reading and studying scripture. I mean, these are the fun things I like to do in my free time because I'm a nerd like that. This is what I do. I've been struck by something just interesting as I'm reading through all of this Christmas stuff. I've been struck by the surprising and unexpected nature of the Christmas story. I mean, the way that God would choose to redeem and restore a broken and messed up people is just astonishing, isn't it? Just the way that he would choose to enter into our story, it's just something that you wouldn't have expected. This is certainly not the way I would have expected the God of all creation to enter my story. I mean, you know, when we're looking at the Christmas story, I mean, just look at Mary, for instance. This Mary alone is the mother of Jesus. She's this teenage girl who becomes now the mother of God. she's from middle of nowhere Israel, from Nazareth. People actually had a saying about the time about Nazareth. You actually read it in John chapter 1. Jesus is going around with his disciples, and he's just kind of just starting his ministry. And one of the disciples comes, and he comes to his buddy, Nathanael, and he says, "Hey, Nathanael, we found the Messiah. We found the guy. His name is Jesus, and he's from this place called Nazareth." And the guy turns to him, and he says the same. He says, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" It's like Nazareth was in the sticks. It was the middle of nowhere. Nobody cared about this place. The most unexpected place you would possibly imagine it to be. I mean, that middle of nowhere town, why would the Messiah come from there? Why would he come from there? He's a king. He's going to come from a good life and a good people and a strong lineage. He's the son of David, you know, the iron scepter of the line of Judah. Like, this is who we're talking about. People had certain expectations about the Messiah, who he was going to be and what he was going to be like and how his life would play out. But instead, we're introduced to this teenage girl in the middle of nowhere Israel who's got no family name and no lineage. And I mean, if you could have predicted where Jesus would come from. I mean, of course, now we look back, we see, yeah, totally, this makes perfect sense. But if you could have predicted through all the Old Testament prophecies that we see, I mean, we see this prophet who's going to come, this powerful king who's going to overthrow evil forever. He's going to just come in and he's going to reign on David's throne for all of eternity. And I mean, would you have put money on this guy being born in a barn in a farming city? Right? I mean, it's really, I mean, when I look at the Old Testament and I'm reading through the prophets and I'm reading through the Psalms, I see this mighty king who's going to come, he's going to overthrow the powers of evil in the world. He's going to confront darkness. He's going to completely turn the social order upside down. This is the king who's going to come and start a revolution by force. And that's what people were expecting. He's going to come in. He's going to overthrow the Romans. He's going to be this powerful guy and restore Israel to its rightful place. But instead, we're introduced to a teenage girl in Nazareth, in middle of nowhere Israel. And instead of there being this triumphant story where the Messiah is born, you know, in a royal family, in a great palace, he's born to common, dirty people, in a barn of all places. And this boy would grow on to live a normal life, working as a tradesman. You know, he's going around and he's building tables and chairs, and this boy would grow up to be the Jesus that we read about in the New Testament. And he would go on to be enthroned as the Messiah, to take his rightful place as king of the world by being beaten to a pulp, mocked and scourged, and hung on a tree until he suffocates in his own blood. I mean, this is our conquering king. This is the Messiah, and this was his enthronement. It's altogether unexpected. It's altogether not what we thought we would see coming. And I think one of the reasons why the Pharisees probably had such a hard time with this, accepting Jesus, is that he was just so ordinary. Everywhere you go, he's just going around, he's just like the rest of him. Isaiah says that he had no majesty that we should admire him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was, as much as he was fully God, he was fully human. And I think that messed with people just a little bit. Because, I mean, this is not the way this is supposed to go. I mean, this is not the way you're supposed to act. I mean, this is not the way we expected the Messiah to come. You're ordinary, you're normal, you're average, just like me, and God can't use this. But as I read through the accounts of Jesus' life, and especially as I land on his birth story, I just stopped by this strange and unexpected story in Luke's gospel of his account. I mean, have you honestly ever stopped to consider, why is this included in my Bible? Have you ever asked that question? Why does Luke feel it's important to include this strange story of his birth in our Bibles? Is it just some sort of anecdote for us to hold plays and to sing nice songs about it? Is that what it's about? Is it just some detail? I mean, clearly, Mark and John didn't feel as important. Because we get a whole gospel account, we know who Jesus is, in Mark and John, and they make no mention of his birth story. So why Luke? Why does he include it in this bit? Is there something he's doing here? Is it an interesting anecdotal story? No, I don't think so. I think there's a clear point that Luke is trying to make to us here. I mean, he's not telling us his birth story for fun, but rather to show us something about the unexpected ways that God brings joy to the world. And the point the New Testament authors are trying to make with this unexpected story, with this unconventional narrative, with God's unorthodox entry into humanity, is that the God uses unexpected people in unexpected places to make this message of hope known to the lives of those who need it most. I think that's what he's trying to say. And I think that if you came here today with just certain expectations set in your mind about what God can or cannot do in your family, what God can or cannot do in your marriage, what God can or cannot do in your home, I'm here to tell you today that God uses unexpected people in unexpected places to do the unexpected. And maybe you're here today and you've got certain things you expect out of life. You've got, you know, maybe certain things you expect out of your family. You've got certain things you maybe even expect out of yourself. Well, I'm just here to tell you today that God uses the normal, God uses the ordinary, and God uses unexpected messengers to make this message of joy known to those who need it most. And I believe today that God sent me to tell you something, that you're an unexpected messenger this Christmas, to bring life to your family situation, to bring life to a dying marriage, to bring joy to this town through this church. And I believe he's going to use the most unexpected messengers possible to do it, because God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And I believe that this Christmas, God's going to use you if you're not careful. So why don't you stand with me this morning? Why don't you stand with me this morning? And we're just going to pray real quick. But here's what I want to do. I want you to just turn to your left. Everybody turn 90 degrees to your left. I guess I'll turn this way. And just lay your hands on the shoulders of the person in front of you. If someone's not there, just reach out and trust somebody near you. And would you just begin to pray for that person? Just 30 seconds, real quick. Pray for that person that you're touching, that they would hear Jesus this morning. Okay, ready? One, two, three, go. Lord, I just pray that you speak to that person. Lord, I just pray you'd open their heart. Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to them today, God, that they'd hear your voice. That, God, they would just know, Father, that you're there. That they would just know, God, that you want to speak to them, God, you want to use them this morning. That, Lord, God, you want to make them an unexpected messenger this morning. Because, God, you use the unexpected to do the unexpected, and you're going to use them this morning. Jesus, thank you, God. All right, now just turn to the other side. Turn to the right. Do the same thing. Just begin to pray for that person. 30 seconds. Ready? Set? Go. Just pray for that person. Lord, just pray you speak to them. Lord, just pray you encourage them. Lord, just pray you just build them up this morning, God, that you just would use them, Father, in this. Lord, they'd hear your word. They'd hear your voice, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Speak to us, God, this morning. Lord God, we thank you that you're here. We thank you want to speak to us. We thank you, God, that you're already doing that. Lord, we ask, God, that you continue to do it more and more, and you speak now to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a seat. Now, that was unexpected, wasn't it? Because that's the point this morning. The whole point, my whole sermon in a sentence, is God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. Why don't you turn to your neighbor real quick and say, God, that was unexpected. The reason I say this, though, I'm not just pulling this out of thin air. The reason I say this is because I see this in the lives of some shepherds. And I see this in the lives of some farmers and some tradesmen in Luke's gospel. So if you got your Bibles this morning, would you open them up? Luke chapter 2. So we're going to be camping out here this morning. Luke chapter 2. We're going to be capping out in this passage as we see how God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. In Luke chapter 2, we read this whole birth account. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story in detail this morning because it's just a particular section I want us just to look at this morning. But I'll just do a quick summary as we know it so far. You know, so Jesus' story begins with this teenage girl, small town, nowhere Israel. We talked about that. One day, going about her business, angel shows up. Boom! Hey, Mary, you're going to be pregnant. Okay, I know you've never been with a guy. I know you're not even married yet. You're just engaged. That's fine. Don't worry. You're going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And then that same angel goes to her fiancé and says, hey, man, stick with her. Don't take off. Hang out. I know it's scary. I know you want to leave, but don't. Stay there. So he goes, okay, sounds good. So they work this whole out. Now she's pregnant, this teenage girl, married out of wedlock. This is a scary time. And this time you could be stoned to death, get rocks thrown at you because this is a bad thing. And then here now, she's in this scary place and not sure what to do with her life. And then the governor of the land says, hey, I need everybody to go back to their hometowns for the census. So wherever you were born, wherever your family line's from, you got to go there. So she goes with her fiancé. And they go all the way to Bethlehem, some 90 miles away. It's like walking from here to Halifax on foot. It's a long ways. You got to go all that way down there, and you got to stay in that town, and you got to get registered for the census. This is what's going to go on. So she's 9 months pregnant. She's walking down with her husband into this town, and they get there, and just as they get there, they go into labor. Just like that. Goes into labor. There's no family around. There's no doctor around. There's certainly no epidural. I mean, this is bad news, you know? Like, this is a bad place to be. But here, she just got, works it out. She gives birth to a healthy little boy in the most unexpected place, in the most unexpected way you could possibly imagine, in a barn, to a little boy. It's impressive enough. Quite the story. And if Luke was just interested in telling us the historical account, he could have just stopped right there, right? Hey, this is how Jesus was born. That's good. We know. But he doesn't, because he's trying to make a point. He's trying to show us something about how God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And so Luke chapter 2, verse 8, take a look. He goes on that night, the same night that all this stuff is happening, that night there were shepherds staying in some fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Okay, now stop right there. We're really familiar with this story. And when you're really familiar with a story like this, you kind of just gloss over the points. Like, oh yeah, there's some shepherds, no big deal. Tell me the rest. There's the angels, this is the fun part. We're going to get there. But we should stop here for a moment, and we've got to look at the fact that there's shepherds in the story. That's noteworthy and noticeable. Why? Okay, I grew up in a city. I grew up in Edmonton. I don't know about you guys. I've never hung out with sheep much in my life. How many people here know a shepherd? Just show of hands real quick. Oh, Dwight, no, we got one. All right, that's great. I don't know any shepherds in my life. I never hung out with them, never been with them. But in this time, in this place, shepherds are everywhere. This is a very common thing. They're like, they're tradesmen, is the way we might see them today. You know, like electricians, plumbers, carpenters. Okay, how many tradesmen do we got in the room this morning? Just raise your hands real quick. Yeah, one, two, oh, come on, there's more than that. And I see, yeah, there we go. Okay, good. You're working on it. Yeah, see, tradesmen, that's great. You're a hardworking, average Joe guy. You're just getting out there to do a job, and you're skilled in your trade. Today, we look at tradesmen, and you're respected for your field because there's a lot of education, there's a lot of work to go through that. You're skilled in what you're looking at. But there's a big difference between today, we look at tradesmen, respected. Look then, back in that day, shepherds, scumbags. Seriously, here's how it goes, okay? People did not respect shepherds. People didn't think anything good about them. People had zero expectations of receiving anything significant from shepherds. In fact, shepherding was seen as a bit of a lazy job for three reasons. Say reason number one. Reason number one. Turn to your neighbor, say reason number one. The lazy. Because this wasn't perceived as a difficult job. I mean, have you seen sheep? They just kind of sit there all day, right? They kind of just sit there. They don't really do very much. They kind of just hang out. And I mean, so it was kind of perceived like shepherds just did the minimum amount of work to get by. That's it. So that was reason number one. Say, reason number two. Reason number two. In addition, they had a guaranteed income. Now, how would that be nice? You'd like to have a guaranteed income? Yeah? Come on. Anybody in the room? Okay, just Jocelyn. Only she gets guaranteed income. The rest of you don't get any. So the old Jewish religious system worked like this, okay? The old Jewish religious system, they had this place in place that if you sinned, if you messed up, that people would break relationship with God and with people. A payment needed to be brought to cover that sin, to cover that mess up, so that when God would look down on that sin, he wouldn't see the sin, he wouldn't see the damage, but he would see the payment covering that. And there's this sense then that what they would do is they'd bring an animal for it, and it would die in our place, so that we wouldn't have to. And that this really drastic, really intense suffering of an animal would be seen by God. And he said, you know, that suffering is going to take place for that animal so that you don't have to die. And so now what happens is God sees this costly life, this drastic damage to our relationship with God has been covered instead. And so then this practice of animal sacrifice becomes very common in Israel. It becomes very common, and people were doing this to stay in right relationship with God. But not everybody's got farm animals lying around. Right? Not everybody's got farm animals lying around. And so what you could do is you could go out to people like the shepherds, and you could buy an animal from them, and you could take them, they would raise them for specifically this purpose. You bring them into the temple, and you could pay them to use this animal as the sacrifice to cover your sin. And so in this way, the shepherds had a guaranteed income mandated by the religious system. Reason number two. What was reason number one? The lazy. Reason number two? Guaranteed income. Reason number three, they're dirty. These guys stink. I mean, they're out in the fields. There's no running water. There's no electricity. There's nothing like this. The amenities of the city, even in the old days, they didn't have them. And because of the extensive purification rituals needed to get clean before entering God's presence, they were outcasts from society. They're not in with the rest of the people, not allowed in the temple. So what you're left with then with these shepherds is a group of lazy, entitled, dirty social outcasts. A despised group of people rejected from all respectable society. People had zero expectations about shepherds. People just did not think anything much of them. And this is really important for us to understand as we're reading this story, because we read this story here, separated by 2,000 years, and we read that and say, oh, some shepherds, that's nice, farmers, we like those guys. But a first century Christian would read this and be shocked. Hold on a second. What, shepherds? Those losers? Why are they in this story? I mean, I thought this is the Messiah's birth story. I would have expected something different. I would have expected somebody noble. I would have expected somebody significant. But Luke is trying to show us something through these shepherds in a field, that God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And if God can use them, then maybe he can use you. So right after the birth of the Messiah, Luke takes us into the countryside to meet these lowbrow, average Joe tradesmen. And the people you'd at least expect to show up in this story are there. Let's check it out. Verse 8, Messiah's story continues. That night, there were shepherds in fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Okay, shocking as it is. And then suddenly, an angel of the Lord appears to them. To these guys. To the outcasts. To the average Joes. To the ones that nobody thought anything much about. Who held no position in society, to them, the angel comes. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them and appeared among them. And the radiance of God's glory surrounded them, and then they were terrified. Well, I mean, of course they're terrified. They're sitting there quietly in this field, and then suddenly, boom, angel, right there. I mean, how would you like that? You're lying in your room, getting ready for bed, lights are out, and then, boom, angel in the bathroom. Right? I mean, that'd be terrifying. Of course you'd be terrified. These guys are freaking out. Verse 10, though. But the angel reassures them. Because this is what happens. I mean, every time the angels show up, people are scared. But the angel reassures them. Don't be afraid. Because I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. the Savior. Yes, the Messiah, the Lord. This is the guy we're talking about. He has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And I'm coming to tell you guys first so that you can be the first to go see him, the first to know. Because this message comes to and through unexpected people like you. And here's how you're going to recognize that what I'm saying is actually true. Here's how you're going to know. Verse 12. You're going to recognize him by this sign, a very unexpected way to see the Messiah. You're going to recognize him by seeing a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger, an animal's feed trough. I mean, listen, the Messiah has been born just a few miles away from here. This is the one we've all been waiting for, this mighty king. This is the king, the Messiah, the Lord, but he has not come like you've expected. He hasn't come in a palace. He hasn't come in a cradle. You're not going to find him wrapped in silk and lying in a cradle. No, you're going to find him wrapped in rags and lying in an animal's feed trough because this king has not come like you expected he might. He's not come to the high and the powerful and the smart. He's not come to those type of people, no. This message has come to everyday average people like you. And that's why I'm telling you. It's like Luke is trying to show us that, you know, God uses these people, not the rich, not the qualified, not the influential, the skilled, the powerful. God uses the unexpected. God uses the overlooked. God uses the mundane, the ordinary, the average to make this message known to those who need it most. And if you're here this morning and you think that God can't use you and you think that you're too small and you think that your voice doesn't matter, I'm here to tell you today that God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And Jesus has come to use you. I mean, that's what this story is all about. It's about God partnering with humanity to make his mission and message known. He could just choose to do it without us. That's well within his right. We see it in the story. Every now and then he shows up and just is like, man, you guys are too screwed up. I'm just going to do it for you. But he chooses not to because he wants to partner with us. He wants to go with us on this message. And he chooses the most unexpected and unqualified to do it because that's how his message is made known. I mean, this is staggering. I mean, seriously, this is just unimaginable. Like, that because of Jesus' entry into the world, it doesn't matter what others say about you. It doesn't matter what you even say about your social standing, your education. You're not even good with words, maybe. It doesn't matter because God, it doesn't matter what you even expect of yourself. You might have zero expectations about what you can do in your own life and where you're going. But God brings this message to you so that he might use an unexpected nobody to become a messenger of hope and life to a dark and dying world. I mean, I'm looking at a room this morning of unexpected messengers. That's you guys. I mean, nobody expected that God would use shepherds. And nobody expected that God would use you. But he does. Because God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And Jesus has come to use you. I mean, this is good news. I mean, you're welcomed. You're accepted. You're brought into God's family. You're on equal ground with everybody else. The smart and the qualified he brings down and the lowly he brings up. That's justice. And he brings you into his family and says, you're mine. You're welcomed. I want to use you. You're part of this. And the angels, they get this. They're stoked this is happening. Finally, somebody else gets to do the work with us. Let's go. Let's rejoice. And they lose it. Check it out. Verse 13. Because suddenly, this angel that was in the field is not alone. And he's joined by a vast host of others. The armies of heaven even. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heavens. And peace on earth to those with whom God's pleased. Which is you guys. And then as quickly as he comes, he's gone. He's the king of the entire world. This is the craziest story. You know, it's so unexpected. And yet here he shows up to these people. These are the ones he chooses to tell. I mean, this proclamation should go to kings. It should go to politicians. It should go to the prime minister's office. But instead, it comes to us. And it's made to normal people, average people. This announcement is made to the unexpected. That God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And that God is using you to make his message known. It's crazy. I mean, both in its delivery and its content, we see this. I mean, this message is made known true for all people. It's not just the best and brightest. When Jesus comes, you're an equal in his kingdom. And you're accepted, and you're brought in, you're useful, you're made known. I mean, whoever thought that would be the case, right? There's this really interesting story I want to just point out to us. Who's got your Bible this morning? Check it out to 2 Peter chapter 1. If you got that, your phone, your Bible, open up. 2 Peter chapter 1. This one's not on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're introduced to this really interesting guy. Okay, so Peter, right? This is one of Jesus' 12 disciples. This is one of the guys that he walked on water with Jesus. He was there in the feeding of the 5,000. He was there through every part of Jesus' miracles. This is the guy that Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on you, Peter. You're the rock that I'm going to use to build my church. This is that Peter. This is that Peter that on the first day that Pentecost came, he preached a sermon that 3,000 people got saved at. That's something impressive. This is the Peter we're talking about here. And this Peter writes a book to the church, and he says these words in his opening line. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm writing to some people in the church, some average nobodies, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. Hold on, 2 Peter. You say I have a faith that puts me on equal standing with you? On equal ground with you? I'm not anything like you. How could I possibly be? I could never preach a sermon that brings 3,000 people to Christ. I could never walk on water. I could never multiply bread. But you're saying to me that I'm on equal standing with you and my faith is exactly the same as you? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm writing to you, the average people in the church, people who have obtained a faith that puts you on equal standing with everybody else. Because this message doesn't come to those who are smart and powerful and educated and talented. This message comes to average people who expect nothing of themselves. This really important verse, go back to Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It's really short, right in the middle of the announcement. You'll miss it if you're moving too quickly. Real quick, it says, don't be afraid, verse 10. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. I mean, this is it. This is it right here. It says, I'm coming to you, of all people, that I might tell you something that will bring great joy to everybody who hears it. Because this is what this is about. Unexpected joy from unexpected people. That God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And instead, he comes to average people like you and me to make the world expect nothing much of us. And he uses us to do the unexpected. And he takes shepherds, and he makes them messengers. I mean, angels fill the sky. Just imagine this picture. You're in a field in the dark, and then suddenly there's angels everywhere. And they're filling the sky and declaring glory to God, and as quickly as they come, they're gone. It's silent again. The shepherds, they're sitting there. They're looking at each other. They're freaking out. Their hearts are racing as fast as they can. Their adrenaline's pumping. They're thinking, oh my gosh, did you just see that? Did you see what I see? I mean, they're losing it, right? And in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, the shepherds get up and they're looking at one another and thinking, okay, well, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing the angels have told us about. Let's see if it's actually true. Of all people, God chose to came to us. To tell us that we're on equal standing with the smart, the pastors, the prophets, the shepherds. And so they run off into Bethlehem. And the angel told them to look for a baby in a manger. A baby in a manger. A baby in a manger. So a manger, that's an animal's feed trough. It's going to be like in a barn someplace. And so they're looking everywhere in barns, behind houses, and in sheds. And then one of them turns a corner and bang, there he is. There's the family and there's the baby. He's right there. It's true. It's all true. I can't believe it. And so in verse 16, we see that they hurried to the village, and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And Joseph's looking up at them and is like, who are you guys? Why are you here? I mean, we see those little, you know, nativity scenes that we put on our mantle places. You know, the shepherds and the wise men, they all look so peaceful. I'm sure there's a lot more confusion going on than that. I'm like, why are these random stinky shepherds showing up? But Mary's not surprised. She sits there and she's treasuring all these things up in her heart. She knows. She knows that this child is special and God's doing something through it, that you don't need to be skilled or qualified, that you don't need to be talented or accepted or wealthy, because God uses a teenager and God uses a barn and God uses shepherds to make this message known. Because Jesus has come and uses the unexpected to do the unexpected and to bring joy out of the darkest places. And while at first the shepherds didn't believe it, when they went and saw for themselves, they realized this was true. Of all people, they understood what it meant to be lesser than. But the angels come and says, this is the news for all people. I mean, if you've ever felt lesser than, if you're here today and you ever felt like you don't measure up, if you've ever felt unqualified or unskilled or guilty, welcome to church. That's what this is about. The reason we follow Jesus is because we're not good enough. Because we're unskilled, because we're unqualified, because I don't have it within myself to make myself good enough. I need Jesus to do it for me. That's the whole point of Christianity. Jesus didn't come to the rich and powerful. He comes to shepherds in a field, and he calls us equals with himself. And he takes away our heaviness and replaces it with joy. And he takes away our guilt and he gives us peace. And he takes away our debt of sin and he pays for it with his own life so we can walk free. And this is why Jesus came. And the shepherds are stoked. I mean, they're so excited to spread this news. They go. They're so excited that as soon as they've seen what was heard is true, they get out. In verse 17, after seeing him, the shepherds told everybody what had happened and what the angel had told them about this child. And all who heard the shepherds' stories were, what's that last word? Astonished. Now, why would they be astonished? Why would they be shocked than ordinary teenagers having a baby in a barn? Well, it's because of who's telling them. The most unexpected, the most ordinary, the most average messenger imaginable is bringing this message of hope and life and joy and peace to a church, to a people, like unlike anything you could possibly imagine. And today, that messenger is a tradesman. Today, that messenger is an average full-time mom. Today, that messenger is a high school student. Today, that messenger is a senior citizen. Because God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And God uses the unexpected to bring unexpected places, to bring this message of hope and joy to life in the people that need it most. And I believe this Christmas that God's going to use the most unexpected messenger of all to change this church, to change your family, to change your marriage, to change your neighborhood from the inside out. I believe this Christmas God's going to use you, this church, unexpected messengers of hope and joy and life to a broken and dying world. I mean, I never expected that God could bring joy out of sorrow. I never expected that God could bring hope out of destruction and depression. I never expected that God could bring life out of death. And I never expected that God would use a baby, that God would use some shepherds, that God would use you to be a messenger of hope and life to this world. But the God I serve, he uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. Who would have ever expected that Jesus would choose to use you? I'm going to invite the worship team to come this morning. And as they do, would you stand with me? You see, we were all outsiders at one point or another. At one point, we were all like the shepherds, just on the margins, not accepted in church, feeling uncomfortable in this place, and we had no relationship with God and no right standing with God's people. We're not included or welcomed. But Jesus comes and he welcomes us in. He calls the outsiders. He calls the losers, the everyday average nobodies that nobody expects much from. And he says, I'm going to use you in my life. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus wants to use you this Christmas. And I think like what Craig had just said this morning, it just takes a willingness to get out of the way and just to let Jesus use us. We get so bogged down by all these other things that go on in our life and the stresses and the ups and downs of how our lives go. And Jesus is just like, I want to use you. Would you just get out of the way and let me do that? And all it takes is a willingness to respond. But I'm also here to tell you today, you don't need to do this alone. There's this really interesting story in Matthew's gospel. He also tells us the Christmas story. And beginning of his story, in Matthew's account, the angel comes to Mary. And he says, hey, you're going to have this baby. You're going to be pregnant with the Son of God. And this is what it's going to look like. And I mean, I can't imagine how she would have felt about that. I can't imagine how scared she must have been. The anxiety going through her head, all the stresses and all the fear. How terrifying would that be? I mean, we read in verse 23 this reminder in the midst of worry, though, in the midst of this really scary circumstance. He comes to her and he says in Matthew 1:23, look, the virgin will conceive a child and she will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Because look, Mary, I know you're scared. I know you're frightened. I know you feel small and ill-equipped and the worst possible candidate for the mission that lies ahead. I know you never expected much of yourself and you never expected that God would use you. But here's the truth I need you to remember. You're not in this alone. Because the child you carry is Emmanuel, God with us. The God who's present and near in every circumstance, no matter what you might face, no matter what he might call you. And you might not be going the way you expected. This might not be going the way you planned, but God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And God sends his son as a reminder that God is with you through it all. And he's here to be your help. So if you're here this morning, and you feel ill-equipped, you feel too shy, you feel not smart enough, not strong enough, not brave enough to go tell your wife, to go tell your coworker, to go tell your neighbor that Jesus loves them and there's a church that cares about them. If your family, if your coworkers, if your neighbors would all look at you and agree that you're the most unexpected person of all to come with a message of hope, I've got good news for you today. God uses unexpected messengers to make his message known. And he's going to use you this Christmas to bring this light to those who need it. So this morning, as we worship and reflect on this, I'm just going to take a moment to consider and remember what Jesus has done for us and how he calls us to go, to be welcome others in. And this morning, I know all of us have somebody in our lives that feels like an outsider. They don't feel welcomed into this. They would never show up at this church on a normal day. But God wants them to. And he wants to send you to do it. So who in your life feels like an outsider? Who in your life can you think that they would feel like they don't measure up to this? Is it your coworker, your family member? Because they don't need to feel like they measure up to anything. Jesus brings us together. And just as the shepherds went others and told others what they experienced and called others in, so we're called to do the same. And so as we worship this morning, I want to point something out to you that I've got on this desk here this morning. I built these cards a couple weeks ago. They're called touch cards. What this is, it's just a simple invitation. It's small, 2 inch to 2 inch. It's literally the same size as a bill. Fits in your pocket, fits in your wallet. It just says, come and see. It's got Cornerstone's information on the back of it. Nothing fancy, nothing crazy. Just, hey, I'm thinking about you. God has come to me and made me an unexpected messenger. And I believe he wants to do the same to you. So would you come and see what God's doing in my church? Would you come and see what God's doing in my life? Would you come and see next Sunday where we're going to give away so much food from this Christmas Index project to families in need? Would you come and see that story? Would you come and see on Christmas Eve a story of hope, a story of life? Would you come and see on January 6th stories of redemption from Teen Challenge? Would you come and see what God's doing in my life and in my church? And what I want to invite every single one of us to do this morning is as we're praying, is to come and grab one of these cards. And I just want to invite us to come out in rows down the middle here and just take one, two if you want to, for that one person in your life that you know that doesn't know Jesus. Because there's always one. It's just one more. Just one more person to teach them with the love of Jesus. So as we worship this morning, I want to just invite sections to come out. We'll take a moment first, and we'll just pray. We'll invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us and bring somebody to mind. You probably already got someone in your mind, obviously. And then we'll just come out, and we'll grab this connection card, this touch card, and we're going to pray for that God would give me an opportunity in conversation this week, in coffee this week, and hanging out this week to invite them to church and to invite them to come and see what God's doing here in my life. So Lord, I thank you, God, that you're speaking to your church. I thank you, God, that you call us in. I thank you, God, that you'd welcome us to make us your own, that you, God, would bring outsiders in and use the most unexpected means possible to bring hope and joy to this world. And that, God, I thank you that you would use us, Father, that, Lord, I'm so unqualified to do this. I'm so weak and so not good enough to do this, God, and yet still you would choose to use me. Lord, I just ask that you would bring somebody now to mind in my life that doesn't know Jesus so that I might go and be an unexpected messenger of hope to them this Christmas. So, Lord, as we worship and as we respond, God, to where your Spirit's leading us, would you direct our path in Jesus' name. Amen. So can I invite this section and then this section and then this section to just come, grab a card, maybe two, and then return to your seats. Would you guys come this morning?